Right. All right, Brendan Woods from BW Manifesting. That's on YouTube and on Instagram and TikTok. You're definitely on all the big platforms, and you've been kicking out lots of content. And your website is stan.store/BW Manifesting. So stan.store/BW Manifesting. And anywhere you search BW Manifesting, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, you're going to find this guy. You will find Brendan Woods, actually, I should say. And anyway, you're mostly influenced by Neville, it seems, but you definitely have other influence as well. So thank you for being on the show. Let's talk some manifesting. And, you know, one thing that's not on your site is a little bio. So can you tell us, well, first of all, thanks for being on the show again, but also tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to create BW Manifesting.
Yes, absolutely. First, thank you for having me, Craig. So if I were to give you a little bio about myself, so my background is actually in meditation. I started getting into overall spirituality through the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda, the author of Autobiography of a Yogi. And through that process, I believe I reached a level where I could actually understand Neville's work, because I had heard him previously, but didn't fully understand exactly what he meant. But I think getting that understanding from meditation, learning self, and then hearing his teachings again, I was able to clearly understand and begin to apply what he teaches and see it work out. So my first successful manifestation that I really imagined, and it happened exactly as imagined 3 days later, was I made a video about it, manifesting my dad's truck. He had just, in passing, visiting my house, told me he wanted a specific truck. He thought they were all sold out. And I thought, what a great time. I've just been listening to Neville Goddard. I know exactly what to do. Why not give it a shot? And 3 days later, it all came to pass.
It's amazing how powerful that is, where a lot of us are trying, as we learn, I think a lot of people kind of start with the law of assumption, not the law of assumption, I'm sorry, the law of attraction. And that's a little bit hit or miss, definitely, you know, a tool in the arsenal, but really the law of assumption. And whether a person is still law of attracting or they're using law of assumption, I think one of the things that definitely holds us up, that keeps us in that holding pattern on the edge of manifesting, is we're trying too hard. We're gritting our teeth. We're, you know, that idea of vain repetition. And we just don't seem to get anywhere. We're almost like a dragster, you know, at the starting line, and we're watching those lights count down, but they never seem to actually hit the green. We never really grip that pavement and go. So it seems that maybe part of that first manifestation process that sort of turned you on, that made you realize, oh my gosh, this really works, was that it was a whim, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because I had just listened to Neville, and really, you know, I was listening to his five lessons where he kind of paints very clearly how to do it, you know, falling asleep, imagining your wish fulfilled. And so I was thinking, well, I would love to do something great for someone else because I know I wouldn't be too attached to it. It could just be an easy experience. And yeah, so like on a whim, opportunity presented itself and I took action and it worked out.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that. I was just looking over here. I think and that's the way these things work, is that I've actually been going over the five lessons recently. You know, so I actually had it on the table. So, you know, for people who are interested in Neville, that will definitely be talking about, you know, Neville some in this episode, of course. Five lessons, Neville Goddard. If a person was going to do, let's say they were new to Neville, they really hadn't heard of Neville, of course they can listen to your YouTubes, but where would you point them? And I'll just mention, I think for me, At Your Command is a great first one, but then really I kind of started thinking Five Lessons might be a great second book after that. Where would you aim people who are just getting into Neville?
Yeah, I very much agree with that. And I also think if they're very interested in the law and they want, you know, a lot of examples and stories from people who took his teachings and made them work for themselves and how they did that, The Law and the Promise is excellent because it's just full of success stories. And then at the end, you also get a little bit of the more spiritual side where he talks about fulfillment of your birth from above, living scripture.
Yeah. And it's something to, when we look at his life and while he was lecturing, of course, he started with, I'm not sure what year he started lecturing. Was it the late 30s or did he not start until the 50s? I think he kind of always was lecturing.
Yeah. I think the 30s when he really started. But then, of course, more recording equipment became available. So we have, you know, some of the audios from later on.
Mm. And that's a big deal. I think that, so he something tells me like 1938 or so, I think is when he was definitely lecturing, give or take a couple years, you know. So, and then of course the audio equipment, like you mentioned, did get better. And he lectured right until 1972. And then he, you know, left, sort of. And do you ever get a feeling that he, of course, he was evolving himself as he went along. I mean, at first he focused on the law, and that's what he was about. Then he got into the promise, and I thought it was very funny where his audiences really went, they really started to decline very quickly. People just were not interested. And he said, well, I'll just lecture to the wall if I have to. So, it's such an interesting moment. I mean, what do you think Neville was going through? You know, I really sensed a change when he started to really talk about the law a lot more. It seemed like he almost got a little bit tired. I'm sorry, when he talked about the promise more, he almost got a little tired of the law. It almost seemed like it always reminded me of Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, where Gandalf was frustrated with his physical body and having to be physical, because Gandalf was a god ultimately in Lord of the Rings and he couldn't die a mortal death. And so he was like frustrated in this mortal being stuck in this body because he was living multidimensionally. And it just seemed like Neville, once he really began to have experiences of the promise, it's almost like he really was just frustrated being in the body anymore. Does that resonate? Am I anywhere on target, do you think?
Yes, it seems. It's not that he was like, you know, actively upset or anything, but you can tell with little comments he would make closer to, you know, his exit from this world. He would say things like, I hope it's not too much longer, or I can't anticipate that it would be many more years. Because of course, you know, in this physical world, the body ages and decays. And so you can't do all the things you used to do, or maybe you don't care to. He was living in imagination, right? The reality, capital R. So I'm sure he was much more satisfied with imagination than the physical reflection.
Yeah, it does seem that way. And, who wrote the book recently? Oh, he's written a couple of books on Neville. I think one is, of course, I totally space it right now. Magician of the Beautiful or something like that. Oh, I forget. Anyway, but there's somebody who wrote kind of an investigative book about Neville. And one thing that really struck me was how it did seem that he definitely, well, he talked about it in his lectures. I mean, Neville loved his, bottle of wine with lunch and then three martinis. You know, he liked it. And I remember in one lecture he even talked about, I tried smoking, but just couldn't seem to do it, you know? And I do wonder, so, you know, some people were a little bit, Mitch Horowitz, I think is his name, and he wrote a book recently on Neville, and it was, like I say, an investigation a bit into his life. And he actually found the paperwork from the military where he actually was in the military and was discharged as his story, as he talks about, which was very neat. But also it turns out that he really was a heavy drinker towards the end of his life. But I've often felt like we don't know what he, I think that Neville, his physical experience, we don't necessarily know what really drinking was to somebody in that physical state. I think he was very energetic being. And even if he was a bit of a heavy drinker towards the end of his life, I don't think it's, I don't think you can really compare it to a normal human, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. When you reach a certain level of consciousness, you have such like, you're so solid in knowing, you know, reality as consciousness. Yeah, for someone like that, if you listen to Freedom Berry, his, one of his, you know, he helped him go on to teach the law in California when he was located elsewhere. But if you listen to some of what he talked about, Neville could take, you know, almost an entire bottle of gin and then take the stage and give a wonderful lecture. I'm sure we've probably heard some recordings after he's had a couple of drinks. And to sound as clear, he's not stuttering or stumbling his words. So he must be solid in just his consciousness. Nothing could really shake him out of that.
Yeah, I've often thought that his little love of alcohol was just, I think that what would, you know, make many humans unable to function was just a little tingle for him. And I just think that when you have that high energy, you know, toroidal force that is your body, yeah, I think he just, it just didn't make much of a difference. And it actually really bothered some, you know, many people who follow Neville, they thought they were disturbed by that. And I just think, well, nah, you know, I just don't think it affected him in the way that it would a normal person. And yeah, you do hear right until like 71, 72, you could hear he was, you know, getting a little older towards the end, but still he was incredibly sharp, you know. And do you ever wish there was more pictures of Neville? Or like, wouldn't you just love to see a video, even a couple seconds of actually Neville, you know, speaking? If there's one thing that I know I like to, a law of assumption, like I know I see it eventually one of these days with as many people who want to see it, and it only takes one, you know, we're gonna find some Neville video. Somebody had a Super 8 video player. Someone's got it in an attic somewhere. It hasn't been found yet, but I know it's coming. What do you think?
Yeah, that would be excellent. That's actually a great idea. I haven't thought to, you know, imagine that and possibly manifest a video, because, you know, sometimes you see people that are reposting the content, they'll make like the AI generated, like it's almost kind of creepy to watch, but a real video would be awesome.
Yeah, because the AI generated is kind of neat, and they've started to AI generate Neville, and he looks sort of like a Marvel superhero now. So, which I think is cool. I'll do that. I like the idea of Neville being a Marvel superhero, you know, version of Neville, you know. It'd be great to have that sort of that sharp, you know, Neville, you know, face there, and just into the silence on a TV, on a t-shirt or something like that. So sure, why not? But yeah, I have a feeling, and I'll just like put it out there, like, yeah, everybody, you know, have that assumption. I know it exists. I have no doubt. And it's coming, and it's not going to be too long. There's going to be somebody somewhere. I think it's in an attic. I think somebody, there's somebody who's, I see it, it's there. There's this Super 8 reel, and someone's going to be like, oh, what's this, and play it. And someone's going to know, oh, that's Neville. They're going to put it on YouTube, and it's going to just explode, and we're all going to have it.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be excellent. Very, very soon.
Yeah, yeah, very, very soon, yeah. And I think we're going to find some uncovered lectures, too, that have just, you know, I think it's very cool. I think Neville was very aware of, you know, beyond, I think he had a deep awareness, of course. And when he let people, I think he always was happy with anybody recording, but I think he definitely encouraged it towards the end of his life. And do you think that Neville knew very well that those recordings were going to really stand the test of time? And I don't think they're ever going away. And I almost sense like right now at this time, there's a bit of a Neville renaissance going on. Do you think so?
Yeah, I think at that time, maybe it'd be hard to predict something like the internet, but at least in some way, knowing that those recordings, whether it was someone personally, just listening to them over and over to study, or maybe sharing them with friends, that decision really solidified him. And so whether he had insight into the year, you know, in the 90s when internet came about or not, it was a wonderful idea. And of course, I'm super thankful that it happened. So,
yeah, because I think if we didn't have Neville in his own words, we'd be, well, we'd still get by, of course, but it's really wonderful that we do have, you know, so many Neville lectures. I think there must be, I don't know, like probably 100 lectures that are on tape, you know, that have been recorded, and they're all out there. First thing you can do, you know, search on Google Neville Goddard, and you're going to find a, you know, an endless amount of them. It's interesting that you mentioned Paramahansa Yogananda, because I think that that book, Autobiography of a Yogi, so you mentioned that you sort of started there, you began to meditate, and then Neville all of a sudden spoke to you. And I think that's, like for me, you know, I knew of Neville, but I was looking at the Abraham material and other things, and I was kind of, kind of getting nowhere, I guess you'd say, having very, very mixed success. And Neville was always there. I mean, I saw I saw him come up now and then on YouTube, and I knew he was there, and I even read some of it, but it was like it was on the other side of a pane of glass. It never quite happened, you know? Then one day, like a lightning bolt, boom, I just got it. And it's funny how, I wonder if the Renaissance that we're seeing right now is that a lot of people have been working on it. And I think that lightning bolt is starting to happen. And all of a sudden, like Neville is just becoming, it just all of a sudden one day, it just hits them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It seems that, you know, we kind of function like a collective, everyone as you pushed out, right? So we're all one. And so we notice that things kind of happen in waves. And I don't know if it's the overload of information with the internet, but a lot of people are dissatisfied with, you know, aspects of their life, or maybe, you know, everything about their life. And so people are searching for something that's going to help them, whether it's a change in their, you know, morning routine, or just reading more often, taking up meditation. But that opens up the mind, you know, more than just these individuals, but more people are opening up their mind to, you know, more esoteric teachings, more teachings of consciousness. And so I think that opens the door for this Neville Renaissance.
Yeah, I like the idea of there being a Neville Renaissance. And, you know, I like to think, I don't know if Neville, you know, time is not exactly linear, of course, but I don't know if Neville stuck around at all. He seemed like he was very happy to go, you know, he'd had enough. And so who knows if he's still necessarily, his consciousness is here, but do you ever feel that you are hanging out with Neville? Do you ever feel that, like when you're doing your videos, that there's a presence, there's a flow? I've been very curious. I like to ask people who are, you know, followers of Neville, do you think he's still around, or has he left and he left his teachings and he's out of here?
I think there is access available to those who will dedicate themselves to focusing on that specific, I guess, if we look at it like light, it's like focusing into that area, or it's kind of hard to describe, but like if we were to look at like a full range of all of consciousness, if you devote yourself focusing, meditating on Neville's work, you're bound to get something, whether it's him choosing to come, or if it's that it's open, consciousness is open to all and everyone. So I certainly have felt there are times where I'll sit down and start typing out from inspiration, and it comes out sounding very much like him. Yes. So I know it's not me personally writing, or sometimes speaking, recording the video. It's a force coming through me. Some may call it the subconscious, or God, higher self, but I have felt at times this is from Neville.
No, I definitely understand that feeling. And ultimately, I think really what we're pointing at or that we connect to when we have that feeling is not so much Neville, the person, but what Neville was tuned into.
Yes, you know, absolutely. Yeah. That same part of infinite intelligence, just, you know, giving freely that wonderful gift of, you know, understanding the law.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think, you know, many of us, we like that physical connection, and we like that idea of, you know, Neville is still here. But when one realizes that, when you get it, like you're saying, it's almost like you're seeing beyond Neville. It's almost like you're seeing through his eyes that are your eyes. You're, you know, you and the I am become far less separate than you just are I am. And then, yeah, that's where Neville was coming from. So it's almost like you get past the wanting to know the ego of Neville, the physical form, and then you're hanging out where he was. It's kind of, yeah, it's very hard to put into words, but yeah, it's very comforting to know that, you know, there's some way to connect to that individual that we found as a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like there's a conscious state of Neville. Yes. The way he compared, like, the, you know, the disciples in the Bible, or every character in the Bible, to states. It's like now there's this state of Neville, which is wonderful for everyone who can tap in.
Yeah, and that's great, because I think that, you know, people who do listen may find that, okay, I want to check out Neville. And, you know, that's a great tip for a person who is, you know, whether you're a longtime Neville, you know, student, or you're just getting into it. What an amazing meditation that is, to meditate on the state of Neville. And I think that's a very beautiful, you know, feeling, as we say, you know, feeling is the secret. And that's something I'll probably do later, is just meditate and just feel Neville, you know. Yes. But not so much that ego, but this is the thing with the law of assumption, as you know, be Neville. And it's, right. And then you, wow, there you go. Yeah. Everybody, that was worth your time right there. If you
Yes, absolutely. Gin not necessary.
Yeah, gin not necessary, you know. But if you want, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. There's a Ramtha. I don't know when it comes from that movie, like, I think The Secret is where Ramtha kind of got a new hit on popularity. And I forget the story of Ramtha, but a lady channels Ramtha. It's supposedly a very, you know, ancient being. And it's funny. And everybody who goes to see Ramtha, they actually all drink red wine before Ramtha starts speaking, because, you know, it does create like nitric oxide, and supposedly it makes you more open to ideas or a state of mind that you're not used to. You know, anyway, so
yeah,
gin not necessary. You know, a little bit of red wine could possibly help if you so desire. You know, I'm not. Anyway,
yeah. I can be honest and say that, like, imagining after maybe a drink or two, just a light, something light, nothing extreme, but it helped me kind of lose myself in the imaginal act. I believe I had a couple drinks when I manifested my dad's truck. I really lost myself in the scene. So not necessary, but it can be useful.
Yeah, it's very, very true. It's very, very true. And it's something that you mentioned in one of your videos recently, is that, you know, we definitely don't need anything other than ourselves to manifest and to be, you know. And that's something that really has struck me, that for quite some time has been one that I thought about, is when you are listening to affirmations, or you're listening to, and I am oftentimes very wary of, like, I love my New Agey meditation music, all right, but I've gotten more and more critical of where it comes from, because, you know, the intent of the individual who made it, or individuals, but then also the intent of the affirmations one might listen to, could lead you down a wrong path. And that ultimately, like you mentioned, you might want to make sure, and you mentioned the Parrot app, which, if you're, you know, a law of assumption person, you probably have the Parrot app. Anyway, just look for Parrot on the App Store. You'll find it where you can like say your affirmations into it, and then it will play, it records them, and you can listen to them whenever, you know. Affirmations that are not your own can lead you down a path to manifest something that you may or may not like. If you could speak to that for a second, like, should we really record and create our own affirmations and listen to those? Or is it okay to listen to, you know, some affirmations other people have made, as long as we're, as long as we ensure that we're tailoring that feeling to ourselves?
Yes, yes. So of course, feeling is the secret overall, yes, out of everything. So if you can believe that an audio is going to help you, it's the belief that's doing it, right?
Yes.
You are the operant power. So that's what it's really about. But do be careful, right? It's the internet. Anyone could make a subliminal audio. And the point of subliminals is that you can't consciously hear it. So they can tell you, I have this list of affirmations, it's everything you want. And some people will say, you know, if you don't want an affirmation, you won't get it, even if it's in the tape. We don't really know. I mean, no one, there's not really a lot of studies out there that tell us we can really do that. So it's about your beliefs, but be careful, because anyone can create these. So I don't want to fearmonger, right? I don't want to put limiting beliefs on anyone, but making your own also is helpful, not only because you know exactly what's going into it, but if you're building a relationship with your subconscious mind or the God force, whatever you want to call it, then that's your own personal relationship. You may have great success with I am affirmations or a different style, maybe just less specific if you're being more broad. Like Dr. Joseph Murphy said, if you say something specific like I am rich and you don't feel rich, exactly. Then maybe you want to go more broad and say, by day and by night, I'm being prospered in all my interests, so that your mind isn't resisting. It's just more broad. So you find out through practice, right? You can only find out through experience what works for you. So that's another great reason why making your own is helpful.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that Neville said, and I think it's very powerful, of course, is that, you know, he always said, don't believe me, test it.
Yes.
And I think that really, you know, I've come to realize, you know, as, you know, years of studying Neville have passed, is that that was a very, very bold statement. And I think that there was no other statement at the time that he could have given that was more powerful, or at this time that's more powerful, where, hey, you know, are you testing your spiritual foundation as to how you literally exist? You know, one might say, the biblical line, I forget for the exact place to quote it, but, you know, I and the Father are one, but the Father is greater than I, you know, that you, and well, you can test that, you know, through the study of Neville, and you can test that through your own manifestation. And I don't know, well, Joseph Murphy is amazing too, and I think he said the same thing in some ways, but ultimately, for a spiritual teacher to say, hey, forget faith, faith is good, you know, but why don't you just test this? And then when you see it work, you're going to realize that this is truth and there's nothing else that can validate it for you other than that. And then when you know that is true, this is truth, you know, I am is God and that's you, you know, you're going to live a very, very different life from that point forward, and you'll have proven it to yourself, and you'll no longer be playing the games and the beliefs that so many people are playing. And I mean, for me, that was a huge metamorphosis. That was a huge transmutation, because literally, like, your very existence changes. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Speak to that. How about that experience for you? Because, you know, it's heavy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Because once you realize that imagination is causing reality, because of course, unconsciously or subconsciously, we're doing it all the time, but until we do it consciously, it's not going to be true to us. And that's why he always said, you know, practice it, try it. It's almost like a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, right? A million people could tell you their successes, but until you do it, until something really comes to life the same way you imagined, you're not going to fully believe. You won't give yourself to it. But that transformation is huge if you take it and run with it. Many people may try it, get what they want, one thing, and then call it a fluke. They'll still attribute it to the bridge of incidents, the physical things that happen to make it happen, because it's so natural. It happens in such a natural manner. Mm-hmm. You may be surprised, but it's easy to, I would say, like fall back asleep, right? Because when you're awake, you're fully aware, you're consciously creating, but it's almost like you're hitting snooze on the alarm clock. You go, oh, it was going to happen anyway. And you go back to sleep, creating subconsciously. But when you really dedicate yourself, when you really choose, okay, I believe this, this is it, you live by it and you watch the mind and you realize how often we are entertaining thoughts and feelings and imaginal acts that we don't really want to experience. And that's where we have to make the changes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a huge one at this time, you know, because I feel like we have a world. Well, actually, I have to rarely reference one of your videos. Was you mentioned that, you know, the earth is a school, you might say. And I, you know, that almost sounds like so new agey. I almost like hesitate to reference it, but it's a tough, there's, I don't know how to put it. There's so much delusional rhetoric on that it kind of disempowers or makes weak the real reality of it, where I think that what you're saying and you said is very, very correct, because, and it really helps one live in harmony with source, with God, with themselves and all that is them pushed out, that you realize that, you know, we live in heaven and hell at the same time. And that, as Neville put it, you know, and there's biblical quotes for it also, of course, that we do go through the furnaces, you know, that ultimately that's part of it. So the earth plane, as I'll call it, is, I don't like the word school, but it's an experience that through the souls, God's manifestation of individuality, the individuated soul, you know, I am the Father, I am the Father who is greater than I, you're both, you're going through the furnaces of this existence and also the bliss of this existence. And I think that it's so important that people understand that they're manifesting the reality that they want and that they can, because if you don't know, or until the day that you actually know that I manifest this, you kind of spend a lot more time in the furnaces.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and manifestation itself, creating and having fun with this great big like coloring book that we have to create reality, that once you get it, that is truly your path. If you've gotten it, if you've awoken to that, then it's time to have fun. If you don't consciously manifest, you're just kind of in neutral and you're kind of like sliding downhill backwards. You need to like get a grip and manifest and not feel bad about just creating really, really cool stuff. It's like almost like, hey, everybody, it's like Bashir says, you know, like it's your permission slip. It's like, you know, please take your permission slip from yourself, from God, and let's just start manifesting incredibly cool stuff rather than just hanging out in the furnaces. Like, enough of that. Don't worry. You'll suffer enough. Don't feel guilty. It's still going to happen. You know, what do you think about that? Like, hey, everybody, let's manifest and have some fun. Because if you know that you can, it's time for you to do exactly that. And that becomes your path.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because we can get caught up on all, I mean, the news. Neville would say, you know, stop reading what's in the newspaper, because even back then it was all bad news. So it's easy to get caught on that. But when we have this power, when we wake up to what we're capable of, it's easier to turn off the television and maybe go into the silence of meditation. Imagine something wonderful. Maybe you don't need anything in particular at this moment, but could you imagine something wonderful for yourself or for another? What a wonderful way to spend your time, or invest your time, rather, to create something great.
Yeah, spending versus investing, you know, and that's something that Neville spoke of, you know, also, which was, I think, an inspiration that his wife had, was that we need to invest our thought, our consciousness, and not spend it. You know, spending is sort of like dissipating and losing, where investing, that's your manifestations. So we literally can invest in a certain future with our attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's our currency, right? So it's the coin of heaven is one of Neville's lectures. It's really our choice. How are we going to use it? Will we spend it to lay out without hope of return, or invest it, which is to lay out for a purpose, expecting a return? And that's how we should be imagining, especially if we're doing affirmations, visualization, scripting. A lot of people maybe will do it more hoping it'll happen than expecting it to happen. And that is a big difference, because one is not being in the state, really. You're still in the state of really wanting, desiring. It's a maybe. And then there's the state of acceptance, where you know, okay, this is a creative act. There's no separation between me and God, the subconscious source that's going to carry it out. So I have no doubts. I have no worries, no questions. I wrote it. It's done.
Yeah. And that, it's so true. And I think that there's a incredible peace, you know, that biblical line of, be still and know that I am God, you know, and like the peace beyond all understanding, is that I think what I wish for people, and I know that I can't, you know, fix people, and your one, I'll have to link to it in the show notes, your one talk that you did about that, you know, school, earth is like the school of heaven and hell, you know, and you can go through the furnaces of difficulty, but also there's like nirvana, there's heaven at the same time, and you really do consciously decide. And it's funny how it's an incredible knowing. And I think one of the things through all my years of, you know, spiritual practice and seeking, the law of assumption and realizing ultimately, and the promise comes into play too, knowing that you're God, once you get it, then it's almost disappointing at first, because you go, wait a second, I like the idea of God being out there and me like kind of begging, you know, and so like I've done that so much, and it's like, it's a really bad habit and it doesn't seem to work very well. And, you know, that thought of original sin, well, I'm kind of bad. And so I'll just keep, you know, begging and, you know, and, you know, and you definitely can join these great big support groups called churches where everybody does that. You know, it's like, you know, well, if you want something, it's up to God, and you can beg, and you can like try to make a foundation for that to happen if it happens. But, you know, your will is essentially essential original sin. And even the fact that you want just means that you're wrong. And so like, I never, you know, had that, especially being like raised Roman Catholic. Now, you know, when somebody throws that at me, and this is like the first time in life, last couple of years, I can say like, man, that's BS. And I have no fear whatsoever of going to hell. That's silly. And I know that I love that, right? Not trying to argue with anybody, but I am so completely done with, you know, God outside of self. And at the same time, also, you get over that it felt like a disappointment. Like, I thought God was out there and I could grovel. Yeah. And it is such a habit. It takes a while to get over God outside of self and groveling. And at the same time, you know, and then also like the pearl of great price. I love that one lecture from Neville where you go, wait a second, you mean like my astrology doesn't actually like, you mean that's cute and neat and sure, get into it if you want, but I am, and I manifest what I want regardless of where my moon is. You mean like, oh my gosh, all this stuff external to me now falls away, and you're like, oh my, you really, it is quite heavy crap to go through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They're all optional. They're all options for us. They're all states, right? But yeah, they're also tools. So maybe it's really, really transformative and helpful for someone to do tarot cards, but it's almost like if we're desperately searching for something to put a nail in a wall, and we find a hammer and the hammer nails it into the wall, And then we think it's the most amazing thing. Nothing else worked. So we start worshiping the hammer. But really, it was ourselves. It was ourselves that, you know, put out the intention to get the nail in the wall, and that hammer was presented.
Yeah. And for instance, bliss, you know, and I thought I'd mention one of the things about manifesting recently, or the law of assumption, is, and how you know manifested a new, you know, car for your dad, was something that happens more and more, is once we become aware and are just aware of it and tune into it ourselves, ultimately, you know, whether we have a good day or a bad day, we're still, you know, creating. The good day or bad day is sort of a little bit more superficial, but your I am, your consciousness, you're manifesting. And so you just sort of realize that no matter what happens, it's the best thing that could possibly happen, and all good is on the way and is now, you know. And I had this amazing experience where there's a certain kind of workout that I like to do, and there was a gym a little ways away, and I decided that one didn't have good vibes anymore. I didn't want to be there. And then I stopped going, and I tried a different one that did the same thing, and I was like, nah, it's too far away. And for a moment, I just sat there and thought, actually for a day or two, off and on, what would be perfect? What would be, like, what would be perfect? What would be, like, the perfect, you know, specific workout? If it was perfect, what would it be like? It would be like this. And I thought, you know, it really would be nice if that was just local, that was close by, you know? And I forgot about it. I was daydreaming, you know? But then I go, like, right around the corner, and there's this sign up, you know, this like new sign up, and there's a gym doing exactly that right there. And it's like a mile away, maybe, you know, it's around the corner. And, you know, and they haven't even opened yet, gotten their mailing list. They'll be opening soon. And, you know, I almost feel like walking in and being like, I've come.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah, like, yeah. I know you think this was all your idea, but well, it was me.
That's wonderful. That's great. And that's an example of how quick things can come together. It just starts with an idea, an openness, right? Not that you were like consciously like, this needs to be here now, but just what would be perfect? Oh, this would be perfect. That would be great if it was local and it led you there perfectly. Yeah, that's amazing. Well done.
Yeah, and that's the thing where I think that's one of the things about Neville's work and the law of assumption is that, and I think it might be one of the hardest aspects of it, but then also it's also the easiest part of it, is you don't have to try hard. It's almost like there, this sort of, I'd call it like almost an initiation happens. Somehow you become aware of I am self. God, something happens. And I think that that is something which continues being cultivated, but that you know now, and you've gone through like, oh crap, God doesn't have a beard. Yeah, crap, you know, and all this stuff. You go through all these things and then like, oh, wow, it's just me. Well, that's not very entertaining. I mean, there's all this pageantry, right? You know, so eventually it just becomes this blissful place. And somehow, at some level, whether you're, you know, 0.001 connected to it, or point, you know, or 3% or 100%, when that connection is made, that self-initiation, all of a sudden these miraculous things start happening. And then, as Neville said, put it to the test. And so that test begins to be proven to you constantly. Do you find that happening?
Yeah. Yeah. Time and time again, if I get blessed enough to be aware when something enters my consciousness, or maybe a habit of thought that's been playing out for a while, I become aware of it and I notice what it's been creating in my physical experience. I make the change. I don't struggle. I don't try hard. I don't do, you know, 1 hour meditation, just affirming over and over to fix it. I just make the simple change. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this were the case instead, or I am now my ideal, and then seeing it play out quickly. And it doesn't take long because it's that openness. Once that switch goes, it takes much less effort. And that's how it's supposed to be. How hard does God have to try to create? Not at all. So it's just an act of becoming. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, there can be, and this is another one of those resistances, like initially, you know, God's outside of myself. Oh, wait a second. I am. Oh, okay. I'll have to get used to that. Then you get used to that. But then the idea of struggle, wiping sweat off your brow, you know, there being effort towards creating. And I think you mentioned it in one of your videos. It's like, don't worry. If you feel like you need to struggle a bit, it will, that path will be before you and you will. If you feel you need to, don't worry. You'll have a little furnace to get what you want if you feel that's important.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because so many of us are programmed that way. And I believe it's a quote from Napoleon Hill where he says, if you believe that hard work is the only way to get a large sum of money, perish the thought. Because so many of us, we may hear about manifesting, but we're so programmed to believe to get anything, you have to try super hard, like you said, sweat of your brow. But these are just thoughts. These are beliefs. These are choices. So if you want that furnace, go for it. You know, it's on, but you don't have to do it. You can do it easy and effortless.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, it's so true. You know, and if that furnace is, yeah, if it feels good, I mean, in some cases, you know, it feels good. And so that's the thing. I would just, you know, let people know, I'd say, if you feel like you, as you mentioned, like Napoleon Hill said, if you feel that you need to wipe some sweat off your brow to manifest it, don't worry. Relax. That's the thing. Many people, I think everybody, if you were to say that, if you like crawl through these blackberry bushes, right? If you, you know, if you crawl through these blackberry bushes and then like flog yourself and then like, you know, whatever, if you do that, what you want is on the other side of it. You know, most people would say, are you serious? Like it's right over there. They would just go do it, you know? And so it's like, I think we tend to accuse ourselves of laziness, of it's a weird thing, but we'll want to manifest. And then of course the whim manifests more powerfully than anything else I've ever done, which is frustrating, you know? And so, but you realize that by whim, just boom, there it is. But if I like, you know, really work on it, nothing happens. So it's funny. Yeah. I just think it's a very important thing for people to realize that if you really feel that you need to struggle to in its creation, that struggle will be put before you and you'll be doing it. You don't need to try and struggle. If within you, you want some struggle to create, then it will be there, but it'll be struggle where you can actually get some traction and make something happen. Because some people, I get it, you know, some things, maybe a little bit of struggle is rewarding along the way, but don't feel it's really hard to put into words. Does it make sense? Like,
yeah, absolutely. It's entirely in your hands, right? There's only one God, one creator, one cause, and it's I am. So it's either I am going to go through the furnace, I am going to take the hard way and require a bunch of, you know, mental effort, or I am that now. I am my ideal now. And it's a choice for everyone to make. It's how many videos do you want to watch until you get it that it's just you? So,
yeah. Yeah. And it's true. And that one is a hard one, because I know that it is, like I say, I think that when a person realizes, oh man, you know, God isn't out there, doesn't have a beard, I'm not bad, I'm not original sin, you know, I don't have to struggle. My whim literally manifests more powerfully than anything else. And one keeps proving to themselves via their whims that just manifest, they realize you put it to the test, like Neville said, and then you have confidence, and that just changes everything. But I think that bit of metamorphosis is something that, you know, I guess I would just mention to people, it might take a bit of time to truly, and I think it's ongoing, you get better at it. But to me, like, how easy it really is can take a while to become accustomed to.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because especially if you're fresh and you get something that works, like my process. So I got very excited as soon as I had something work, like the truck. And so, of course, I was manifesting all sorts of things and seeing a lot of success, but I also ended up getting into all these different teachers, all these different videos and books with all these different ways to practice. And I thought somehow I found myself thinking maybe I'm doing something wrong if it doesn't come quickly. Maybe I need to watch more. I need to do this. Need, all this need I ended up in. And so thankfully, I came back to it's supposed to be easy and effortless. The law of reverse effort. The harder you try, the more resistance you have to what you want. And that's something that if you can avoid that on your path, good for you. Please do. That's amazing. But either way, you'll get back to oneness. But yeah, it can be a process.
I often found that one of the things that helped me was, get off that one thing or that or those two things that you're so uptight about that you're, talking into parrot. Here's my man. Here's my affirmations. Grr, 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 and because really, the whim has already taken place, and when you forget about it, I've oftentimes found that the way to to kind of unblock is to manifest more stuff. Don't get hung up on those one or two things. Like manifest more, and then you'll find that like something's going to happen every day. I'm like just broaden your spectrum of manifestation, and then you're gonna ultimately you'll have a hard day not seeing something odd show up. That's only that you'll almost dismiss, as Neville has said many times, is, well, that would have happened anyway. But eventually life becomes, that would have happened anyway. And you just don't have time to, the best way to get unstuck, I think, is to broaden the spectrum. Does that work? Or
Yeah, absolutely. Don't just create the big things, which everything's, the same size, I guess, to create. But everything. If you want something specific to eat and you don't know how you're gonna have time to go and get it or make it, imagine you're eating it right now and it'll come. It's something that may be small, maybe people don't care that much, but everything. If you're in traffic, I've said this before, if you're in traffic, imagine yourself home thinking, wow, the traffic cleared up. I got home earlier, right on time. Use it for everything and you'll understand how much power you really have. It's like working out. You're working that muscle. So you can go with heavy weights and do fewer reps, or you can do lighter weights and do a lot of reps, or you can do a mix of both. I recommend do it all. Like you said, broaden the spectrum and create.
And when you're aware of that, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, I said there's some kind of an initiation that happens, and it's a self-initiation. And once one realizes this, and I was in a Sedona, I was going to do an interview with somebody, and it was meeting them at Bell Rock of all places, and the parking lot was just completely full. And I saw them pull in. Like I was looking here, like it's full, completely full, And then they pull in and they drive right past me and they park. And that parking spot didn't exist when they pulled in. I'm telling you, it didn't. That car evaporated, disappeared, and they parked in the empty spot. And I went, man, reality really is not like what we think it is. And that's because that person, they lived that vibe. They were, and I call it like initiated. I don't know how else to put it. It just, that word seems to work.
Absolutely. That is something that I will say resonates with me from like the Abraham Hicks work is everything is always working out for me. Whatever law you practice, law of attraction, law of assumption, that's a wonderful feeling to have because so many people feel like things are going wrong, almost like on purpose, like the world is against you. It's not against you, but it is a pattern of thought. So what are you going to entertain? What will you say? I am too. I am the one for whom everything works out, or I am suffering, and it's a choice.
A line that Abraham said that has always stuck with me very powerfully is, of course Abraham calls God source, good enough, Abraham said, for source, manifesting a castle or a button equivalent, no difference. And so we tend to think, well, wait a second, a castle is like really big. And it's like, no, 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 the source, you know, to God, to I am castle, a button, it's irrelevant. It's this, it's of equal effort, which is zero effort. It just simply is created, you know? And so, well, you have a lot of offerings. Something I was going to, you know, I've had you here for a little while. I wanted to ask you two more things. One is like, in your study of Neville, and other spiritual teachings along, you know, kind of Neville, you know, that's good. We can stick with Neville. has time become less linear? I mean, is that a valid question to kind of ask? Because it seemed to me time used to be linear, and now I'm like, I'm not so sure. I think I'm kind of living. Like Neville mentioned, he saw people living like who had died yesterday, who are here today. And such, and I really get this perspective now when I see somebody as almost being in like the at like an amusement park, like the Room of Mirrors, where you see endless reflections of the same being. It's like it really begins, for me at least, it's like one's perspective of a person becomes way different. You're seeing that person, but you're seeing the many versions of them that are happening at once, and time. It's linearity. This is what another thing, which is, I wouldn't say disappointing, but disconcerting, where you realize like, oh yeah, time. Yeah. Like first God's outside of me. Now he's not. Now time was linear crap. Now, no, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a strange phenomenon. There's a lot of ways to experience it. So if, you know, maybe you're into lucid dreaming, you may get to a point where Neville talked about worlds within worlds.
Yes.
What you're experiencing is, people nowadays call it like reality shifting, or they'll shift into, you know, something that to us may seem imaginary only, but if imagination is the reality, it can be as solid as what we're experiencing now. And I've had dreams where they don't feel like dreams. I'm actually in a different time. It seems to be Earth, but everything is solid. It's not gossamer like a dream. I'm there. These people are real. You can't say, you know, we're in a dream. They will look at you strange because it's real. And to them, they're not in a dream, but somehow we shifted ourselves into a different experience. So in that way, you know, time isn't linear. You may find things not making sense. You get time that you didn't think you had to make things work out. Or you end up feeling yourself having something before it shows up. And then it does, you know, whether you were trying to manifest it or not. It's incredible.
Yeah. And like Neville spoke of it in some of his lectures about like stopping time, you know, where he literally like stopped time and like the birds that were flying just stopped in the air, you know. So he was like, it was, and he spoke of that where, yeah. So I think there's definitely something along where the one thing about the Neville, you know, teachings or the things that we're working on is that the deep just keeps getting deeper. And it seemed like for Neville, it did too, because he oftentimes in his lectures spoke of new awakenings or new experiences that he had had, you know? So it seems that like stopping time, and then also like you mentioned, Wheels Within Wheels. And I think he did mention that if you do revision, you know, and for those who aren't familiar, if you imagine something differently, but you're not imagining it, you're there. You experience it differently. You didn't like the way it went, so now you experience it as you would have liked it, and you're experiencing that now, and that is, and then that's revision. He was saying that as those wheels turn, when you come, as they come to that place again, as it becomes relevant, it won't be the same anymore. And that's one of those things where, wow, I wish, well, I don't, all is perfect, but I'm like, wow, if Neville was still around, I'd be like, what exactly did you, could we like define, I drew some pictures, could we like.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, like what exactly did you mean by that? You know, when that comes around again, it won't be the same. But, and that's a good, you know, as we kind of start to wrap things up, what experiences have you had of note with, or have you had experiences of note with revision? Because you've changed the past this linear experience isn't different when you're done meditating, but at the same time, it is different. I mean, I've definitely noticed a change through revision. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So more so than just revising the day to make it perfect, I don't have a lot of conflict in my day, thank goodness. So I don't have too much to revise, but I always give thanks. But a big thing, I'm big into lifting weights, sometimes maybe too much. And so I was squatting in the gym and I felt it. I felt something, you know, in the back. Back injuries are not fun. So by the time I made it home, I was on the floor. I could not move without pain, just constant pain. So despite the pain, doing my best to imagine that I completed the squat correctly because I had messed up in my form. I know exactly what I did wrong. So instead, I relived the squat and, you know, did it successfully and finished my workout. I imagined that over and over. And it was very, very difficult given the excruciating pain. But I believe that played a major role in the next day. I woke up 90% better. And I attribute that because it was hard to focus with how much pain I was in, but 90% better. I would have thought I had to go to the hospital. But revision, thankfully, helped me complete the squat correctly. And then I felt so much better. I healed very, very quickly.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing with Neville's work is, as he said, you know, put it to the test. And when one puts revision to the test, they'll find that it really does work. And yeah, I found that things to revise began coming up. And I guess they kind of continue where I will be just going about my day doing whatever. And I'll realize, or maybe I'm meditating and I'll realize, oh, wow, you know, from like, when I was like, wow, like 21, I'm like, wow, there was this relationship, you know, I didn't like the way that went, or maybe I did like the way it went. Oh, but you realize it's still there. So it's funny, like when Neville said, when that part of the wheel comes up again, it'll be different. And so I'm like, let me revise that. And I've had to, you know, go through some things and even new things come up and I revise them. It's almost like you really are, wow. What you're affecting, I think, is it is disorienting. But I think as we get better at revising, stuff comes up to revise that we're ready for. And it's funny, like you really start to awaken your entire timeline. And I have a feeling, just a feeling, that I'm going to start revising. I look at all past lives and future lives as happening on top of one another, you know, for me personally. But I feel that, and I think it may have already started to happen, where I'm revising past lives.
Yes. Those same patterns come up in this experience, and it's all reflections, right? So, yeah, you're definitely revising it. You know, some people may say, like, undoing karma. If you look at it that way. But yeah, absolutely. All time is now. And you're always free to revise that. Even little things, like some people joke about being up late at night, 3 a.m. thinking about maybe they said something dumb and they felt awkward in a conversation. Even that you can change. Those could have had a V8 moment. You can, if they keep coming up, put them to rest, fix it, and make yourself happy with it.
Oh, yeah. And I've actually been exactly there, you know, where it's 3 a.m., the world's kind of asleep, and you're just like, man, you know. But, you know, I tell you what, for me, one of a blissful thing now is, you know, getting up at 3 a.m., getting up at 3:30 a.m., because that gives you tons of time. The world's quiet. And even if people do have kids, like I'm telling you, they're not up at 3:30, right? Nobody is up at 3:30. So if you want time to actually do this work, 3:30 is awesome. Or 3 o'clock, you wake up and then you wouldn't miss it. And if you sleep in a little bit, you're going to be like, oh man, because, you know, when you can have your, you know, I don't know, glass of, you know, orange juice, whatever, you know, or bone broth, whatever person likes to drink, you know, in the morning, then that time is just so powerful. And I tell you what, disciplining that time is the hardest thing I do every day, you know, because that time is so important. And if I spend it right, the day explodes, you know, with amazingness, you know. But if I don't, it's still a good day. But even though I know the difference, it's like, that's like where a lot of my real training is. My discipline right now is like, you know, I am wakes me up early and says, now it's time to create the day. Like you have a spiritual practice to do, and it's 3:30. It's time to get to it. I'm telling you, there's nothing I do harder all day. There's nothing that even compares.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's that time. Early morning. Yeah.
I might do like my flow yoga. That's nothing compared to meditating at 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, this is easy. Time for tree pose. Easy. I'm done. You know, well, it's been great having you on. And, you know, you have a lot of offerings. You have some material that for specific partners, for, you know, manifesting. You offer individual coaching sessions. And, you know, I kind of feel like I've gotten a free one here, so I definitely thank you for that, you know. And so let people know where they can get a hold of you. And I know that we've talked a lot about Neville, and if individuals don't have a background in Neville, I know we kind of geeked out and didn't give a lot of foundation, but, you know, At Your Command is a great book by Neville, and it's many people have read it online. Brian Scott, just search Brian Scott and At Your Command. He did a great reading of the book. It's great. You know, if you want to just listen to it, it's free, or you can read it. The Five Lessons, definitely great place. You know, and then of course there's the great, you know, Neville collection here. You know, just might take you a while, but you can get through this, and it'll change your life. You know, and so, and of course you can listen to Brendan Wood's many very, very good, you know, talks on YouTube. Just start at the beginning, or just start at the latest and go backwards, you know, whichever one moves you, you know, you'll be led to it. Listen to them in whatever order moves you. But where can people get a hold of you? And also tell us about your, you know, one-on-one coaching, and then also the material that you've published that people can buy.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you just want to send me a note at my email, it's bwmanifesting@gmail.com. My website, as mentioned at the beginning, is stan.store, that's stan.store/bwmanifesting. And so you have all my links on there. It should be in the description of all my YouTube videos. But that's the best way to get a hold of me, via email or maybe Instagram DM, if that's what works for you. As far as my one-on-one coaching, it's really there. So some people don't have anyone to talk to about this. And so maybe they're trying to practice, they're trying to persist, but they feel a little bit delusional. If you don't have anyone else who believes in you, or they won't even hear you out because it sounds so outlandish that imagining creates reality, I'm here for that. Or if you need specific guidance for a certain scenario, maybe you need an outside mind to help you get creative on what you can imagine or how to work through it. Really what I do is I listen to you, because everyone is confessing their state. So I can, through working with you, understand your state of consciousness to help you move from that state to where you want to be. It's really an intuitive process that, as we talk about, maybe former successes you've had, any of your favorite, you know, ways to use the law, affirmations, visualization, I can get an understanding where maybe you could make small tweaks, because I'm sure you can succeed. Everyone can succeed. It's just maybe something small that you may be missing because you've been in the state so long. So that gives me an opportunity to help you out of it. So there's that. I have my book, Doing God's Work, which is focused on the foundations of understanding who you are, why you have this power to make positive change for yourself, for others, blessing others as well as yourself, and the value of that process. The specific person manifesting guide is focused entirely on if you want a love life. I cover affirmations, scripting, visualizations, possible scenarios you may want to visualize. And it's just as detailed as you can get about it to bring in your ideal partner. And yeah, I'm also working on some free stuff to give away. I think that it's super important to give away value on top of just the free videos. So I'm coming out with a a list of exercises, six in-depth exercises that will help you get the foundation of things like state akin to sleep, crafting your own affirmations, self-concept, things of that nature. So that will be out very soon on my website. And also I'm going to link to something that's already created, but for you to download. Many people may not know, but there is a book on Neville's foundational teachings of Imagining Creates Reality that's available for free in PDF form. So I'll put that up as well.
That's amazing. And I like what you just said. You know, everyone is confessing their state. And like, I imagine an old church, you know, and like people walk into that confessional and it's this like, you know, like you're sitting on the other side and you're like, you know, confess your state. My child. But you know, actually that would be a great video. And maybe we'll see that one. Maybe that will be Brendan's next video, confessing your state, or like everyone is confessing their state, because it absolutely is true. When you look at an individual, they are confessing their state, because that's exactly who they are. And I think that's one of the things that Rudolf Steiner called it, spiritual vision. And I think that definitely people who are doing this work are going to, if they don't have it, they'll get it. It'll only get stronger. But when you see an individual, you will see, like, they will confess their state to you. You'll see it. That's a beautiful thing. So there you go, everybody. Thank you. There you go. Confess your state. You know, wow. I hope that could become like a really good, like Leanne Rimes song, you know, confess your state. Anyway, anyway, well, take care and, you know, keep after it. All the links will be in the show notes, and this will be on lots of platforms and such like that. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm going to end the recording. This was Radiant Creators talking to Brendan Woods, and we will talk again soon, I hope. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, so no longer.